you have for us, Lord. Yeah, Lord, this is our part, O God. Lord, we want to be willing and open vessels for your word. Daddy, we pray, O God, Lord, that all your words and everything you have for us today will be absorbed by our system, O God. That your words will fall on good ground today in Jesus' name. Let's pray for Mike right now. Can you extend your hand to our awesome preacher? Hallelujah. Yeah. Let's pray a biblical prayer. Let's say more. Yeah, more, Lord. More upon Mike, O God. Lord, we ask for an overflow upon this man of God right now. Yeah, in the mighty name of Jesus. Daddy, I ask for your spirit of prayer. I ask for your spirit of intercession. I ask, Daddy, Lord, for the mind of Christ to descend upon him right now in Jesus' name. Glorify your name, Daddy. And I pray today, Lord, confirm your word, even as you have done before, O God, Lord, with signs, wonders, miracles, and transformations in our lives, O God. Glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We can all have our seats, and here's Mike. That's how he said he wanted to be introduced. Thanks, Joseph.
Hey, guys. Hey, Mike. Can everyone see? Prayer. It's funny, Joseph, that you mentioned for the spirit of prayer, because I don't know if you even knew that I was praying, talking about prayer today. It's a relaxed day today, isn't it? Hot? Hot outside? I feel like preaching lying down today. You guys mind if I preach lying down? Just have the microphone up like this? Or sitting down at least? Okay. So today I'm going to be talking about prayer. I'm not much of a preacher, but I'm more of a teacher. That's why I have PowerPoint, I have my sermons or whatever, more like teachings, because that's been my calling in the church as a teacher. So, yeah, we'll just, yeah. Okay. Sorry, I was listening at the same time to God. So, who prays here? Does anyone pray here? Everyone prays? Everyone prays? Good. So, it's not a new subject to anyone. It's not a new topic. But I'd like to take a moment to just think about how each of us individually, how we pray, how we spend our prayer life. Do we pray by constantly asking for things, constantly saying, God, I pray for this. Father, please deliver, give this to me. I want this, I want that. Is that how your prayers are, or constantly asking for things? Is your prayers... Do you pray only when you need help? You got yourself in some sort of situation and you're asking God to deliver you or save you again. So you only talk to him when you want help. Otherwise, your prayer life is non-existent. Is that how any of you pray? Or do you pray by repeating some set of words that you memorized? Like just a bunch of words, no meaning, no feeling into it, not even knowing what you're praying. Just that praying these words are... good to pray? Or do you pray like having a conversation with God? Praising him, worshiping him, listening to him, feeling his Holy Spirit move, listening and obeying what he's asking you to do, feeling his Holy Spirit prompting you to pray for certain things and then praying for it so you can release his power down on earth. It's a conversation. That's what I think prayer should be. A conversation more about him than it is about us. More about him than us. And I think that's what prayer should be. Christians are called to a lifestyle of prayer. But some people reduce it to like calling our heavenly butler for his daily service, or calling out for our heavenly lifeguard when we're drowned in our daily pressures and needs. We need to... Prayer is it's a privilege. We need to know his will. We need to have an intimate relationship. It's a relationship with God. We need to know him, his will, and pray his will down. That's what prayer should be. It's it is a privilege, not just a duty, not just something that He's given to us so we could use anytime we need it. It's a privilege. Prayer should be a priority in our lives, because it was a priority in Jesus' life. Like, He put prayer in front of things like sleep. He would often be praying at night. He put prayer in front of socializing, because He would often go off by Himself to be alone with the Father. He put prayer in front of eating, in fact. He would often fast for long periods of time and pray just so He could release God's power. And if we are to be like Jesus, we have to put prayer as a priority in our lives, just like it was in His. Every decision, everything He did was around prayer. He never did anything without knowing the will of God. That's what He was there for. So how do we pray? Now, Jesus gave us, He gave us a model of prayer. You can find it in Matthew 6 or Luke 11. They call it the Lord's Prayer. Some people call it the Our Father. We'll be taking a look at what the Lord's Prayer actually is. So if we can everyone see that? This is the way I learned how to pray the Our Father. So if we could all repeat it after, like, read it together, starting with the Our Father, of course. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Now, there is a doxology that comes after this that are found. It's not found in the earlier versions of Matthew, but it is found later on. And the doxology basically means a short statement to glorify God at the end of a prayer or a hymn. So as doxologies go, I think it's a good way to end this prayer. So even though it wasn't present in the early manuscripts of Matthew, a lot of Bibles still include it. So if we could say that last part. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So in response, this prayer was given by Jesus in response to disciples' request to ask Jesus teach them how to pray. Now, disciples were not known to be prayerful people. You know, I can't think of a time within the Gospels that they were praying. In fact, even at the Garden of Gethsemane, I think that's how you pronounce it, Garden of Gethsemane, when, you know, where their prayer would have been needed the most, that's when they fell asleep. That's when Jesus had to wake them up. So they asked Jesus how to pray. Many Christians, even non-Christians alike, would read this, memorize this set of words, repeat it under a minute, and that would be the end of their prayer. That would be the end of their prayer life. They just say it all. You know, what we need to do, if you pray just this, if you just say these words, you have no meaning behind it, no heart, no belief in what you're actually praying, then you reduce these words to just babble, nothing, insignificant. Now, prayer is Scripture. This prayer is Scripture, so it does have power to it. So whenever you pray Scripture, whenever you say Scripture, there is power behind it. But if all you do is just pray this, and that's it in your prayer, then it's just babbling, basically. You know, this is the kind of thing that Jesus warns us. In the previous verses in Matthew, Jesus warns us not to just babble like certain people, just inundate God with many words, you know. So when we pray, we have to pray with feeling. We got to know what we're praying. We have to mean it when we pray these words. Now, most of us have prayed just these words, you know, not really thinking about what we're praying, especially when we're learning, especially as kids, you know, they teach you these prayers. You don't really know what you're talking about, but you pray it anyways. You learn the words. You say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth, you know, and so on and so forth, as quickly as you can sometimes. But have you ever heard a kid pray this prayer, like a kid who's just learning? I looked on the internet. I Googled it. Looked on the Google. And I found a few real-life examples of children praying this prayer and the little, you know, mistakes that they did. For example, Give us this steak and daily bread, and forgive us our mattresses. Or, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So apparently God's name is Howard. Our Father who art in heaven, how did you know my name? Give us this day our jelly bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us some email. Now, when I was learning this prayer, even actually not even just learning, like for most of my childhood, teenage, adulthood years, I would say, our Father who wart in heaven. Because I really didn't know what art in heaven means. I don't, wart in heaven, art in heaven doesn't, sounds okay. You know, who, imagine my wife Carrie calling me up, Mike, where are you? Oh, I wart in the grocery store. Or I art in the grocery store. I don't really know what art means, but it's in there. So I implore you that when you pray this prayer, just mean it. Know what you're praying and mean it. So that we're going to look at what the words in this prayer actually mean. And we'll take this as a model prayer. You can't just say this with meaning, but a lot of people take it as a model of how they should be praying. They look at where Jesus puts his emphasis, what Jesus prays for first, what the ratio of where he prays for God or where he prays about himself. They look at that as a model prayer. Some churches even use it in their prayer meetings. They use this as a model prayer on how the prayer meeting is supposed to be structured. They start off with the hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come, and all that stuff. And then they move on to their requests. Other people would take this prayer and just add on their own words in between the lines. You know, they would expand on it. They would say, hallowed be thy name, and then talk about that. When they get to the requests, of course, they would expand on the request that they need. Well, that's another good way to do it. It's just a model. I don't think Jesus meant to say that this is the exact words you should be praying. In fact, in the translations that I've read, it always says this is how you should pray. It's a model. So, here's my mouse. The prayer could be divided really into two sets. Two sets each with three elements. The first set. Hold on. A little bit of a leg. The first set, basically, a little bit of leg. The first set here, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven, deals with God's glory. It's praying regarding God's glory. And the second set deals with our good, which is to give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, and lead us not into temptation. So there's two parts there. So let's start with the beginning. Our Father, our. We'll just stop there on the one word, our. Jesus uses a non-singular verb or word there. He uses our. And this is a common theme throughout the whole prayer. He talks about us, our, we. He doesn't, within the whole prayer, doesn't say I. Now we need to pray in terms of a community. We need to pray not only for our personal needs, but for the needs of the community. We have to take the church in mind, the community, or our family in mind. It's all about us as a group, as a family. Personal petitions are fine. Personal petitions are fine. We cannot forget about this prayer as a community. Because that's how Jesus taught us how to pray. That's one word down. There's only about 70 more words to go. Father. No, I'll go a little faster. Our Father, who art in heaven. Jesus is asking us to pray to the Father, his Father, which happens to be our Father as well. Jesus refers to God as his Father 70 different times within the four Gospels. 70 times. There's a lot of repeats in there, but 70 times within the four Gospels, which in itself is unique enough because people of the day did not refer to God in that term. In fact, they used more extravagant ways of talking about God. They call him King of the Universe or Sovereign Lord. You know, they don't just refer to him as simply Father. Well, they didn't really know until Jesus came. The only time that Jesus did not pray with using the phrase Father was when he was on the cross and he was saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? But all the other times he was praying to God, he used the term Father. And we can refer to him as our Father because In Romans 8, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. And now we call Him Abba Father. So to pray to Him, we must know Him as Father. We must understand Him as the perfect Father, not some skewed understanding of what a father could be based on our experiences with our own fathers, who happen to be human, not perfect, and prone to mistakes. We have to know Him as a perfect Father. We have to have a relationship with Him to refer to Him as Father. Larry Crabb writes, efforts to worship God without first getting to know Him tend to reduce worship to mere appreciation when God cooperates with our agenda. Let's be going along. Second one, hallowed be thy name. So this is the first of the first set. Hallowed be thy name, adoration. Our Father, God, He's our daddy, but He's also the creator of the universe and everything that was within it. He's holy, He's awesome, yet He's our friend. But He's also a consuming fire, as it says in Hebrews. We don't need to pray for Him to be holy, because He already is. We need to pray for Him to be, for us to keep His name holy in our own lives. When we say His name, we must do so respectfully. We must not take His name in vain. That means we cannot use it in a profound manner. We can't just use it, you know, offhandedly or whatever. We can't use it as a swear word, as you probably hear many teenagers say right now. But that doesn't mean we can't call Him Daddy or Daddy God, because when I call my Father Daddy, I don't disrespect Him in any way. I'm actually saying that in a way that I look up to my dad, my father, as more of a childlike manner. And that's the way we should be looking at God as well. So there's no problem with saying Daddy, but we still have to respect and revere Him. The Israelites, when they were roaming the desert 40 years, they were so afraid of using His name in vain and offending God that they didn't say it. And in any scriptures or manuscripts of the time, they didn't even write out His full name, Yahweh. They omitted the vowels just so they don't have to write His full name. But keeping His name hollow just goes beyond just not saying His name in vain. It also means that we don't mention, that whenever we mention His character, His being, we do so with respect and reverence. Because a name, what is in a name? A name represents the person, their character, their who they are. So when we talk about God, we talk about Him, how He is eternal, everlasting, all-powerful, ever-present. If we say anything that's other than that, that takes away from that, then we lower Him within our own eyes and anyone else who we're talking to. Any mention of Him needs to be in the context of respect, that we adore Him and we worship Him. So when we pray this, we are actually saying, Father, Your reputation is at stake in me today. May I live in such a way as to do Your person great credit. Because of my behavior, many people will see You in me, and so honor Your name because of it. So the second one, Thy kingdom come. This talks about affirmation. Do we even have a grasp of what God's kingdom is? Kingdom means to rule or reign, to have Him reign over us within this world, to have Him reign over the mind of every man, woman, and child, to have non-believers call Him king, and to have believers strengthen His relationship, their relationship with Him. We need to take up citizenship within His kingdom and be good citizens. Philip Keller from Kenya, he was born in Kenya, he's an author. He was born in Kenya when it was one of the frontier segments of the British Empire. And one day the whole country was suddenly electrified to hear that King George V, King George V, in response to the people's requests, had agreed to send his son, the Prince of Wales, down to Kenya to live. And this is what he wrote about that. Never before had I seen such elaborate and painstaking preparations for anyone's arrival. We school children were carefully instructed to march to the railway stations where the royal train would stop. We would stand at attention and present ourselves to him as his people. The cry of excitement and delight was, "The prince is coming! The prince is coming!" All the girls and ladies stood erect in beautiful white gowns and were alert with eager anticipation. The prince graciously walked up and down the lines, greeting us personally. He had come to take up residence with his people, his subjects. He was established a bit of the British Empire, a bit of his father's kingdom, right there in that foreign soil of Africa. We were told the keys of the city of Nairobi, the capital, were to be handed over to him. We had thus turned over control of our country to him. Since he was the king's son and his personal representative, it was exactly the same as the king himself that were residing among us. The king had come. To test our loyalty, a test of the loyalty was soon to be made. War broke out, and most of us were glad to give ourselves freely to the king and country. We were faithful subjects, glad and willing to obey our king's command. See, we have to live with eager anticipation of his kingdom coming, because actually, it already started. It's spreading through the world right now. It's spreading with our own hearts. The kingdom is in with us, and as we release the gospel and spread his word, his kingdom gets spread throughout this world. So we have to live with that in mind. Live with his kingdom being spread throughout this whole world. So to pray this sincerely is to give my mind, my body, my spirit, and my will all over to Jesus. Nothing in reserve. All over to Jesus. Thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is acceptance. Many people do not know in the faintest what God's will is. Many people pray this having no intention of his will being carried out. We are not asking him to do what we want, but accepting his ways, his will. We are telling him that we accept his will for our life. You know, we say, "Do what you will." How many of us can truthfully say that is how we think? Lots of times it's, "Do what's good for me." We pray for things that are good for us. And when his will is contrary to what we want, then a lot of us will start resisting. Even though we say we know God knows what's best for us, he has a bigger picture in mind, we still resist. We don't listen to him. We even try to fervently pray that he changes it so we could get what we want instead. You know, if we want his will to be done, we must accept his will. And to know his will, we need to know him. We need to spend time with him. As our Father, we need to spend time with him. We need to pray, we need to worship, and we need to read his words. We need to read the Bible, because all of it is in there. His will is fully in the Bible. Now, why did Jesus come and enter into human history? He was here to do the will of God. "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Now, there's nothing wrong with asking for things that we want, because you know, God also wants us to be happy. He cares for us. Even the little things, he cares for us. Like, I constantly ask him for things that I want. A lot of it, I think, falls within his will, but there's a lot of frivolous, trivial things, like, you know, help me provide, get money so I can buy a new car, or help me, give me favor when I buy this lottery ticket, or, you know, even praying for a good parking spot. A lot of times, Carrie and I, we would, when we go down to the mall, a busy mall, or even Catch the Fire Airport when they're having one of those evening conferences, we would pray for favor in finding a good parking spot. And a lot of times, we would miraculously find that one space that someone decided to just leave or was just dropping someone off and was parking there temporarily, and then we were able to just zip right in there and get that primo parking spot. And it surprised us to find out that a few of our friends pray the same sort of thing when they go to the airport. So I don't know why I'm telling you this, because now you guys are going to all pray and then all the parking spots, the good parking spots, will be gone, but it does work. You know, I pray for things that I want. If I don't get that, you know, it's not the end of the world. If I don't get what I want, it's not the end of the world. See, God hears all of our requests, and he answers them. But sometimes the answer is no, especially when it has to do with things that we want and that goes out of his will. Sometimes the answer is no. Imagine how many lottery winners there would be if God answered yes to everything. It's like that movie, I can't remember the movie. Okay, so now we're down to the three requests, and I'll speed up a little bit because the three requests are pretty self-explanatory. But did you notice that the first half deals with God's glory and just about God, second half just with us, and he doesn't start requesting things until the second half, and I think that priority is there on purpose. You know, God first, then me. So, give us this day our daily bread. That's provision. We pray for our needs, not our greeds. This is referring to the manna that the Israelites received when they were roaming that desert for 40 years. The manna that they received on a daily basis to help them, to feed them each day. We ask God to provide our physical needs day to day. We're praying for Him to be the source of those physical needs. And we have to trust that He is the provider of those. We have to trust that He will provide. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Some people say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I like the word trespasses because it sounds funkier, I guess. So the first part of this, forgive us our trespasses, that's the easy part. We have all sinned, and we cannot enter, if we want to spend eternity with God, we have to be sinless, we have to be pure, we cannot stand in God's presence with sin on us, and the way to do that, God has provided His Son, He sent His Son down to die on the cross so that, to die on the cross for sins that He did not commit, so doing so, have taken on our sins, and that we may become pure and spotless and enter into the Father's presence. So that's easy. Anyone who believes that have entered into that exchange, and our trespasses have been forgiven. The second part is harder. Verse 14, further on in Matthew, just right after the prayer actually says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father would not forgive your sins." So when we refuse to forgive those who have warned us, we are wronged us. We are sitting in judgment against them. And that judging others is something only God can do. And that's His place. We don't want what we deserve. Because if we did, because of our sins, God would judge us rightly, and that would cause us to have death and eternal separation from Him. So instead, we want mercy and grace from Him. But how can we accept how can we ask for mercy and grace when we demand justice for those who have wronged us? We have to forgive them so that we may be forgiven. Mark 11 states, "And if you were to stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." So when you pray this prayer, however you pray it, as a model or even just the words, think about who you may not have forgiven and forgive them. Finally, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Of the three requests that focus on the believer, one is about the present, give us this day our daily bread. One is about the past and the present, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those. And this one deals with the future. We are asking God to keep us from being tempted because we are weak. Without God strengthening us, we are weak. And the enemy knows that. And the enemy will exploit that to no end. When we're tempted, as we often are, we want God to deliver us from that evil. And that's a fair request. But how can we expect God to do that? We expect that because He says He would. No, this is from 1 Corinthians. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you could bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out that you could stand up under it. So when we are tempted, look for that way out. Look for that emergency exit that God has provided to you. Gather up God's strength and head into that exit and out of temptation. Although it is our choice to go there, we have to start the process, but with God's strength, He will always provide, He will always provide a way out, and He will always help us along that way. So whenever you're tempted, look for that way out that God has given you. So, an unknown, so that's it for the Lord's Prayer. Some people call it the disciples' prayer. An unknown author has put together a great summary of the disciples' prayer. I cannot say our if I live only for myself. I cannot say Father if I do not endeavor each day to act like His child. Think about these. I cannot say hallowed be your name if I'm playing around with sin. I cannot say your kingdom come if I'm not allowing God to reign in my life. I cannot say your will be done if I want my way all the time. I cannot say give us this day our daily bread if I'm trusting in myself instead of God's provision. I cannot say forgive us our debts if I'm nursing a grudge or withholding forgiveness from someone else. And finally, I cannot say lead us not into temptation if I deliberately place myself in its path. So this is the model that Jesus gave us to pray. So now I've talked to you a little bit about what those words actually mean. So when you pray it, if you pray it this way, pray it with feeling. Believe what you pray. If you use this as a model in your own prayer lives, then just take it as Jesus' teachings. Take each priority as it is. Pray for God's glory first. Pray for His kingdom to come. Let that start with you first. It all starts for His kingdom to come. It starts with you. Pray for His will to be done. Not your will, necessarily, but His will. And then you can get into your requests. And think of it for the greater good, for your community, your church, your family. So, I like to pray this prayer one more time. And I'll go a little bit slower. And now that we talked about it, let's pray this prayer with a little bit of meaning to it. Just follow my lead, I guess. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So now instead of ministry time, I want us to spend a few minutes praying to God, wherever you are at. Just if you want to stand, if you want to put your hands in the air, if you want to kneel, if you want to lie down, just I want us to spend some time in personal prayer with God. You could use this as an example. You could say this prayer with meaning. You could add yourselves your own little things in between, but spend a few minutes, if I can, just pray right now. And when you're done, just, I guess you feel free to leave, but just, I really implore you to just stay and pray. We'll have the music on for a little bit, and just, pray.
Some of you might be at hallowed be thy name and thy kingdom come. And some of you might be at God, give me my daily bread. Some of you might be at your will be done, Lord, show me what your will is. Other people might be, God, help me to forgive those who've trespassed against me. And others might be at, Oh Lord, forgive me for my trespasses. And still, we could just be praying to God to help us to get through one more day of Christianity. And praying, Lord, deliver me from evil and lead me not into temptation. But I guarantee that if you pray any one of these prayers, you will find that His is the kingdom, that He has the power, and He is the glory. As God cares for you, where you're at, in your individual situation. And He not only cares for you, but He loves you where you're at. And He understands. He couldn't have wrote a prayer like that unless He understood what we were going through. All He's looking for is permission to come into your situation and change, make a change. It's like John, he was trying to open up the door and I was afraid to push his wheelchair lest he get mad. He says, you can push me. And it's the same way. Sometimes it's just like God's just waiting for us to ask Him for help. He wants to help. And as soon as we do ask, He smiles. He says, now I can work in your situation. Praise you, God, for you are the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen.
And to you I give my life. Not just the parts I want to, unto you I sacrifice these dreams that I hold on to, 'cause your thoughts are higher than mine. Your words are deeper than mine. Your love is stronger than mine. This is no sacrifice. Here's my life. And to you I give the gifts your love has given me. How can I hoard the treasures that you designed for free? Because your thoughts are higher than mine. Your words are deeper than mine. Your love is stronger than mine. This is no sacrifice. Here's my life. To you I give my future, as long as it may last. And to you I give my present, and to you I give my past. And because of your thoughts are higher than mine.
Your words.
Your words are deeper than mine.
Your love.
Your love is stronger than mine.
Your thoughts.
Your thoughts are higher than mine.
Your words.
Your words are deeper than mine.
Your love.
Your love is stronger than mine. This is no sacrifice. Here's my life. Here's my life.
Father, we worship you. We praise you. We love you, and we want you to be king over everyone's lives. We want your love to spread throughout this city, nation, and the world. We want people to know you as we know you. For your love is amazing. We want your will to be done throughout this earth. Every leader of every nation to bow down to you and to rule their country with you in mind. Father, we ask that you just be there for us and give us strength. Give us strength to move on and work for you. Be in our hearts. Help us to have a heart for you and for others. And keep us safe and protected as we do your will. Be with us this week and always. Father, we love you. Glory to you. Glory to you. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.
I know.